Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition, truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and I'm joined with Ingrid Castle today. Again, she has some wonderful information to share that she's come up with, and she's with Vaccination Liberation. And Ingrid, take over, please.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me, April. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. You are definitely a soul sister in the movement and in life. And what I wanted to share today is that actually we're part of a forum that's international with other researchers and activists and doctors that are aware of the incredible dangers, the increased required vaccines, you know, across the country are posing to the health of our whole country. But, you know, when you don't have a functional, generation coming up behind us, and it's so serious that, you know, over 54% of all children now, they say, are, you know, seriously have some kind of health issue, you know, whether it's anaphylaxis, severe allergies, or, you know, seizure disorder, or ADHD, or autism, cancer. But 54%. Yeah, cancer. I mean, we're talking over half of all children have some serious health challenge. I mean, serious. And when you look at the schedule compared to what it was before the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act passed, and they started the vaccine adverse event reporting system, I mean, it's tripled. It's only increasing. It's not going down. And you have a whole industry that has been convicted of felonies, and none of them are serving prison time, but they've all been convicted of felonies. All four manufacturers that produce the vaccines in our country, and that's a pretty serious issue. You know that we have, you know, known criminals that are jeopardizing the whole health of our nation now. And so, you know, this right now we're doing a campaign that was initiated by Dr. Doug McKenzie. He said, you know, we need to really think outside the box instead of, you know, focusing on the fact that Facebook's censoring us, YouTube wants to censor us, we have Instagram, we have Pinterest, you know, all these different forums are censoring truthful vaccine information, calling it misinformation, which many of our citations are directly from government sources. So we have a campaign right now to make people aware of the vaccine adverse event reporting system. I mean, we have the HHS and HRSA, all these government, you know, agencies say that less than 1% of injuries are actually reported to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And that is one of the main ways that the government allegedly uses to assure that vaccines are safe, let alone effective, but just that they're safe. Well, we have plenty of evidence that they're certainly not safe, and that, you know, if such a small percentage of people are actually reporting, I want to know who's reporting, because we can't find any doctors in our state that actually have filed a report. And there's one nurse, I remember she posted on Facebook or something, she's been a nurse for a long time in the emergency room, and she's traveled around and worked in various different emergency rooms, and she found she was the only one among her colleagues that has ever filed a vaccine adverse event reporting system report, you know, citing you have to cite the lot number, the patient and the name, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, she was the only one that would report these, and emergency rooms are generally slammed with these kinds of, adverse events. I mean, you know, little children that have a seizure or anything post-vaccination, they end up in the emergency room. And doctors are, you know, continually denying, you know, that correlation does not equal causation. It doesn't matter what they say. They have an obligation to report it, because whether it's related to the vaccine or not, the fact that it happened within a week of the vaccine, that's when you're supposed to report it. Anything within 7 to 10 days after post-vaccination that an unusual, you know, sudden onset health condition is supposed to be reported. And there is, I'm trying to think of his name. I'm going to have to go to the website. I was just told by Sally L. Cordy in New York about this man. Yeah, it's David Denton Davis. And he wrote a book, and he has a whole wonderful website, vaccine-injury.info. And it's really good. He's done a lot of work, but he's part of an organization of emergency room surgeons. And he thinks we are in a national crisis, and he's trying to highlight it from these vaccines because he sees these vaccine injuries in the ER all the time. Mm-hmm. And he sees that these other, his fellow emergency room physicians are clueless that it's connected to the vaccines. And so we're highlighting this through a campaign called the VAERS Awareness Project that was literally initiated by Dr. Doug McKenzie in California. And then a few of us said, this is a great idea. So a gal in California that's actually on the board of Children's Health Defense, she doesn't want her name associated because she feels like it, you know, there could be a little conflict because this is really a grassroots effort and a total independent project. But she took it upon herself to create some graphics, and we all paid for these graphics. And what she liked, they're beautiful graphics. They're post-it notes. So we got a bunch of 4-inch by 6-inch post-it notes. You can put them in a baggie in your purse, and we want to post it where they're visible all over the country. And the blue ones say, shots can hurt. And then it refers you to all of these different known injuries that are reportable to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, as well as they're reportable to VAERS. These are known reactions, you know, whether it's loss of consciousness, seizures, encephalitis, headache, personality change, intestinal blockage, high-pitched screaming. All of these things are, you know, part of that. So it highlights a whole plethora of these known injuries, and it says report injuries. It's the law. So it is the law, but it's a passive reporting system. So it's not required that they report, but it is the law that they're supposed to report. And it's the only check that we have for making vaccines safer, if that's even possible. And you and I know that that's impossible. But the point is we need to highlight, make a connection with, you know, people going to a pediatrician, getting their children shot up with these safe and effective, you know, abominations, and then having these reactions, having the doctor deny it, not report it. At least get the parents to realize that these reactions are actually fairly common and that they need to report, that they can't rely on their doctor. It can be anyone reports. And it says Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS.hhs.gov. It tells you exactly how to file a report at that link. And so it's a real nice, you know, there's 50 sheets in each pad. The sticky is on the left-hand side because it would be exorbitant to get it on the top. But what's great, you just carry a glue stick with you, and you do a little wipe on the right-hand side, and they post. They don't damage the walls. People can take them down and take it with them for further research. And that's going to be our lead-in this month, because next week is National Infant Immunization Week. This is a week that they highlight. It's usually at the end of April. They bumped it up, so it goes all the way from the 29th to May 6th. So anyway, this is a week that all over the country, even the world, they highlight the importance of immunizations of infants. You know, we're talking Hep B at birth. So we want this campaign to coincide so people know. And there was a little bit of a discussion on the forum you and I are on, April, about saying shots can hurt, that it's not, that you should be real clear. So there was another one that people liked. I thought it was a little more busy. It's red, though. And I've had, you know, people like one or the other. And a friend who's not in our movement came over. She's a new friend. And she looked at the red one and she says, oh, I like this one better. And it's real. It definitely stands out more. And it says vaccines can harm. Report injuries. It's the law. And it has all the information at the bottom, and it says death, paralysis, asthma. You know, it basically, the red is that highlight, this is dangerous. And, you know, it's like alert, alert, red alert. So it's interesting. Two of my compadres, they got quantities. They one split an order, and then Lauren, she has the World Health Coalition. Let me see if that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. World Health Collective. Let's get that right. WorldHealthCollective.com. And if you go to the World Health Collective, she and a group, another group, are creating all these applications, or apps, they call them. I'm not really good with smartphones and iPads and stuff, but there's all these apps for natural health, the environment, highlighting, you know, the dangers of glyphosate, fluoride, smart meters, etc. And they're all about educating the public with these apps. And they're always fundraising. And they have a whole bunch of money that's actually donated to the VAERS Awareness Project. And so Lauren just sent out an email blast to leaders. And so the idea is that if any leader of a state in the vaccine awareness movement wants to get 10 or more, they can go to worldhealthcollective.com, use the contact form, and just put in the subject, VAERS Awareness Project, or Post-its, VAERS Post-its, and then just say their address and how many they want. And this organization will send that quantity to any leader in this movement in their state for free. But if you want to just get a few, you can go to our website, vaclib.org, and we have it priced for shipping, you know, smaller quantities, you know, one to five pads. Anyway, they're a great tool. I keep them in my purse with a, you know, just in a little baggie, a quart baggie, and I keep it in my purse, each one with a glue stick, and it's a great conversation starter. Since I've been working this area for 20 years, I find that most people are very open and very aware. Idaho seems to be one of the more freer states, but we have all of these things going on, April, in the legislatures right now, that seems like the Democratic Party is being shown that it's been taken over completely by socialist, communist, and big pharma, because every state that has some of the most onerous or whatever legislation, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, then California, of course, the votes are all split right along party lines, and forced vaccination trends are always right with the Democrats. It's pretty interesting. And the Republicans are for body autonomy and the right to say no and informed consent. So even though we don't like, you know, we think they're both, you know, these are, you know, the party system is pretty broken in our country, and it's just two sides of the same coin. That's what we're seeing on the legislative level with what just happened in Colorado. But it hasn't passed all the way through yet. I'm just saying it was introduced kind of late in the session, and it was one of the most horrible hearings I've ever heard of. We're talking about, you know, 12 hours of testimony till like 4 a.m. You know, it was just most hotly contested bill in Colorado history, and they ignored the people, and they just voted this bill out. That's worse than, if you can even imagine it being worse than SB 277 that passed in California. So they're all kind of tripping out, and they're counting on their more conservative legislators to squash it. And the governor of Colorado had also had stated that he would not support any kind of coercive measures on the vaccine front for his state. So we'll see. We'll see how that happens. But so I had a real exciting thing that happened. And I can obviously just talk on and on, but my friend, she thought they were going to, you want me to just talk on and on? Well, this month, you know, this month is Child Abuse Awareness Month. Mm. And if you look, there's like every month has something, you know, whether it's cancer, you know, some kind of disease that they're highlighting, you know, and, you know, breast cancer or whatever. But, you know, April is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. Mm. So she has this button making program. I mean, what, it's not a program. It's just, you know, these large blank buttons, and they're pretty sizable, you know. They look like they're at least 4x4, you know, the circle. Anyway, she made a really bold print. She sent me three of them, and I can send you one. It's great. Vaccination is child abuse, all in bold letters. And then she refers people to Children's Health Defense and Vaccination Liberation. And I thought that was real sweet. And I got to model it yesterday. Easter was yesterday, and I helped my sister with Sunday school, and we were invited for Easter lunch to one of her girlfriend's house who goes to church there. And this woman has been really, she can't handle the vaccine issue. You know, she vaccinated her daughters, but they're in their 40s. You know, this is all before 1986. So, and she gets her flu shot every year, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so Tanya's tried to broach it, but my sister has a different personality than me. And so I wore this right on my chest. And as soon as I walk up the door, she's like staring at me going, whoa. And I said, well, I said, her name's Wendy. And I said, well, Wendy, you just need to know this is actually a pretty serious issue. You should be doing Sunday school with us and dealing with all the vaccine damaged children we have. We need more help. You know, and she was open. We actually had everyone there was, you know, she was the hostess was the only one that wasn't on our page, you know. So she was, we didn't gang up on her or anything, but she, you know, kind of was forced to be open.
Excellent. Just missing.
So it was all good.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. And then, of course, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in New York State. And the way I see it, you know, and Gary Krasner, who's in New York State, he says, you know, we're going to lose on this front. And the reason is, it's because it's fear fighting fear. Fear of the disease versus fear of the shots. It's all this fear mongering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to go outside the box. And I tried to do that with an interview with Russia Today. I don't generally like to do mainstream interviews, but Russia Today isn't quite totally mainstream, but obviously they're funded, or they would have actually used my interview more. But it was actually a pretty good article. But they used a gal, of course, with vaccine damage, a child who died from the shot, who's very active in Utah and started Your Health Freedom in Utah. That's the organization that sponsored Laura Hayes for her second talk on why is this legal? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I do.
So anyhow, the whole Russia Today interview was basically her, and then I got the last little thing. I got the last word, and it's pretty funny. I mean, out of my all of my interview stuff, she grabbed that it's a civil rights issue, but she actually quoted me correctly, so that was good. I should pull it up here just so you get an idea. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, when you mess with mothers, you know, that are, their kid dies as a result of the shots or is, you know, permanently disabled. I mean, this is a serious issue. You know, you don't mess with a mom like that. And so, you know, Crystal Gordingly has a vigil, you know, of her sweet boy who died from the shots, and she's very active. And so it highlights the whole article. It's in Russia Today. Vaccination activist says, the title says, "I will never get over feeling I killed my son." And then the it says, "Anti-vaccination activists refuse to be silenced." Now that was, I guess, published March 17th and edited again on March 28th or something like that. But I didn't even know she even had me in the article at all. I thought she just blew me off. She never responded. So it wasn't until someone in Utah, another friend, actually sent a letter to me and said, "Congratulations, you were in RT." I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And this is the quote. It's so funny. It says, "Vaccination Liberation, an activist group from Idaho, believes that as the battle intensifies, this will become a civil rights issue, particularly as ever more hardline measures are handed down from above." And then it quotes me, says, "The presumed and unconstitutional authority of legislators to mandate vaccines, a form of medical rape, has not abated in the face of two generations of extremely unhealthy children and adults," says its founder, Ingrid Castle. Hmm. And so that's wonderful. It, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying it's pretty interesting that's all, you know, they got out of, because if I were to show you the interview, this is how it went. It's actually pretty fascinating. It says, her first question is, "If you had to summarize, what information do you think the government is not making available?" You know, well, it's right there. The number one suppression of important information that would essentially kill the entire vaccine program and lead to outlawing the of vaccines as a means of disease prevention is the result of, you know what that is?
What's that?
The National Institute of Health's Human Microbiome Project. Remember, April?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, here is a pertinent quote from the article. This is a New York Times article in layman's term. And it said, this is like from June 2012, "In a new five-year federal endeavor, the Human Microbiome Project, which has been compared to the Human Genome Project, 200 scientists at 80 institutions sequenced the genetic material of bacteria taken from nearly 250 healthy people." And it says they discovered more strains than they had ever imagined, as many as 1,000 bacterial strains on each person, and each person's collection of microbes, the microbiome, was different from the next person's, and to the scientists' surprise, they also found genetic signatures of what they thought were disease-causing bacteria lurking in everyone's microbiome. But instead of making people ill or even infectious, these alleged disease-causing microbes simply live peacefully among their neighbors. So when I put in alleged and what they thought were, because these microbes are pleomorphic. They're form-changing based on the medium. That's from Bechamp. And it's been proven that they aren't form-fixed. And the vaccines rely on the body to produce antibodies. And antibodies are in no way equal to immunity. The more antibodies you produce or have in your blood actually shows a weak immune system. It's considered the third line of defense, and it's not in any way a protective measure, which is why we have outbreaks all the time among people that have high titers to, you know, these various microbes. And they're really the result of disease. I mean, your husband Gary Tunsky, so brilliant, he explains it very eloquently. But microbes proliferate, specific microbes will proliferate that people think are pathogenic, but they're not causal agents. They will just proliferate in the face of a diseased tissue. And so this is why it's so important to have health at the cellular level. The key to health at the cellular level is proper hydration, oxygenation, and mineralization. And when you have healthy cells, you're going to have a healthy body. And for most people that are sick, they have poor elimination because the cells aren't being, nourished the way they need to, so toxins build up in the body. And the solution is proper elimination and oxygenation and hydration and mineralization, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the inner condition of you upon exposure, like my husband teaches. It's not the germs causing the disease. But see, the drug company saw big dollars behind Louis Pasteur's germs causing disease. Crazy.
Right.
Crazy, crazy.
Yep.
I don't see B shops work.
Right. I mean, I guess, you know, when people are going to meet their maker, they kind of recant some of their false information. But, you know, it's reported that he said on his deathbed that the soil is everything. That's Pasteur. He said the soil is everything. You know, the soil and the microbe is minimal. You know, it's not a causal agent in and of itself, which is why Beauchamp showed that they are pleomorphic or form changing, that you can change the medium and you will change. And so that when they make vaccines, that's what's so gross, is they have to start with a culture of diseased tissue, diseased cell lines. I mean, these cell lines, they replicate these cell lines, they get weaker and weaker, and then they have to use new tissue. But yeah, these aborted fetal cell lines have been replicated. They call them continuous cell lines, and they replicate them over and over again. But they've used upwards of 80 plus aborted fetuses to create these various cell lines. And it is actually very diabolical.
It is.
And I know, you know, Dr. Stanley Plotkin, who is considered kind of the godfather of vaccinology in this day and age, his deposition that attorney Aaron Seary got out of him was just absolutely brilliant. I mean, this guy, he should have been quaking in his boots. But yeah, they suppressed that in court, that deposition, because anyone that, you know, looks at that or reads it or views the 8-plus hours of that deposition would be running the other way from any vaccine ever. So, I mean, he's an atheist. The guy is dark. What can I say? But anyway.
Crazy. So what are we going to do if they mandate vaccines for everyone? Like, their agenda, obviously, is that's the direction they're heading.
Yeah. Yeah, healthy people 2020.
Yeah.
You know what? It's always the liability issue. And we have all kinds of creative people that have come up with many different ways of forcing the liability issue and forcing the safety issue. So one of the brilliant things that was introduced into Texas, and I want to introduce next year, because I didn't find out about this bill that Greg... what's his last name? Come on, the guy with Pick. He's the attorney with Physicians for Informed Consent. Yeah, Glaser. Yeah, thank you so much. He's absolutely brilliant. I love that guy. And he came up with a Vaccine Safety Act. Oh, I should see exactly what it's called. But anyway, they use it in Texas, and it got a lot of steam. So you're basically saying, you know, we have a war between the alleged pro-vaxxers and anti-vaxxers, and why don't we, you know, you're not going to get these anti-vaxxers to get, you know, to accept these vaccines unless you can do the basic safety test that they should have gone through. So let's instead assure that all the vaccines we're requiring pass basic safety protocol. So anyway, the whole act is demanding that all these vaccines go through, so that no vaccine can be administered in this state unless it goes through, you know, double-blind placebo and, you know, all of that. I should just pull it up and read it, actually. But it's really good, because it's the back door to just basically outlawing it. Because they're never going to be able to do, I mean, it's, you know, it's the vax versus unvax study. It's all that stuff, but it's all focusing on the lack of safety testing, basic safety testing. So
He's been exposing a lot of that on the front page of our website. We have a couple of his videos showing him and both Robert Kennedy also, Jr., F. Kennedy Jr., they're both showing how there's nothing proving that what they're saying. I mean, it's just there's no research. There's been nothing. And that, you know, it's based on lies, everything.
It is. So, yeah, I don't see it's going to happen because the awareness is too great. And there's so many doctors speaking out now. Mm-hmm. I mean, doctors are like, if you're not speaking out, you're part of the problem. You're criminals. They're basically calling out doctors in their own profession that continue to vaccinate as being criminals. There's a doctor, Jim Meese, I think. And then this other guy, David Denton Davis, that I told you about, vaccine-injury.info. I mean, amazing website. Just these are doctors that see the damage. I mean, when they're seeing the numbers of sick children, over half of all American children are really, really sick, and they're among the fully vaccinated. We have an emergency, and they see it. We have a serious emergency. So, you know, they're not going to get away with forced vaccination because of the crisis we're in. And there's too many people up in arms about this. This is why we're getting the VAERS Awareness Project out, because we need to raise the awareness so it's a clear majority. Forget what they say, that there's only a fraction of people taking exemptions. It's not true. People are flooding our state in droves, moving here because they see the politics. They see it's divided between the red and the blue, the Democrats versus the Republicans, and so they see that this Idaho here is considered a red state, and they see that their rights will be protected here. We've literally practically doubled the number. I mean, it's wild. There's no housing here that's affordable anymore because of the flood of Californians that left here. And we have a lot of Washington people leaving too. So this act, it's very cool. It says, the purpose or general idea of it's the Vaccine Safety Assurance Act, and it's to reduce vaccine hesitancy and increase vaccine uptake by providing minimal assurances regarding vaccine safety. I love it. The New York Department of Health explains on its website that, quote, the New York State Department of Health, along with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the American Academy of Pediatrics, blah, 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 the CDC and the AMA, the Gates Foundation, UNICEF, and many other reliable organizations around the world. I'm being sarcastic, of course. They all agree vaccines are safe. That decades of research support the fact that vaccinations have been proven safe, that the pivotal trials relied upon by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to license vaccines take years to complete. These are all quotes. These health authorities have for decades consistently declared that the safety of vaccines administered to children is robust, extensive, and rigorous, and that serious adverse reactions from vaccination occurs in approximately 1 in a million children. Do you know what that's based on? We figured out what it's based on.
What?
There are stats on that. It's based on the number of vaccines distributed, not the uptake. How they waste a lot, because they're perishable and they're biologics. And biologics don't go through the same rigorous testing that drugs do. Isn't that interesting? So that's why it's classified as a biological. So the biological, which is a vaccine, they're refrigerated, and they have to throw a lot away. So the number of distributed, not the ones that are actually injected, and then they extrapolate that from the number of compensated injuries. And we know that only a fraction of all injuries are compensated for. This doesn't account for the vaccine adverse event reporting system, because correlation doesn't equal causation. It's a passive reporting system. But there's more people reporting and more people filing injury claims, but they've narrowed the definition of what an injury claim is. If your child, let's say, has seizures and becomes catatonic and limp a week after the vaccines, you can't file an injury claim. It has to be like within, you know, 24, 36 hours. It's like they narrowed it. It was 72. And so they narrow the definition. So it's very difficult unless your child reacts severely immediately. So anyhow, with that said, that's how they get these outrageous figures, because we, of course, know it's much higher than 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 10,000 like that, because they're extrapolating, you know, like I said, distribution versus injury awards. And less than 10% of filings ever get compensated, because you have the whole government and manufacturers basically fighting against the person applying for compensation. So anyhow, this is really good. So it says the justification, yeah, so I said that. So nonetheless, and despite these declarations by public health officials, many parents continue to express concerns regarding the safety of childhood vaccines and the childhood vaccine schedule. In order to assure these parents regarding the safety of childhood vaccines and the schedule, this bill writes into law that only vaccines meeting certain minimal safety standards shall be required to be administered to their children. Adding these provisions into law will demonstrate the confidence health officials and their elected representative have in mandatory childhood vaccines and the childhood vaccine schedule, and thereby increase the confidence that vaccine hesitant parents should have in administering to their children mandatory childhood vaccines and the childhood vaccine schedule. So this is the text. This is just great. An act to amend the public health law in order to reduce vaccine hesitancy and increase vaccine uptake by providing these minimal assurances regarding vaccine safety. So it says the people of the state of New York, blah, blah, blah. And it reads as follows. It assures that all immunizations mandated in New York meet these minimal safety requirements, and to assure the public regarding the safety of the immunization measures required by any law in the state, no law in the state shall require administration of any vaccine that does not meet the following minimal safety requirements. A, the pivotal study relied upon by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to license a vaccine evaluated its safety against a control group, which 1, received a placebo, or 2, received another vaccine or substance which was licensed by the FDA based on a pivotal study which evaluated its safety against a control group which received a placebo. See, none of them have. So B, the pivotal study relied upon by the FDA to license the vaccine evaluated its safety for a sufficient duration. You know, because they're only now followed for 4 to 5 days, sometimes only 72 hours. But this is after the trial. So they don't know all the injuries because it's only, you know, such a short time period. So it says, the vaccine evaluated safety for a sufficient duration to capture potential autoimmune, neurological, and chronic health conditions that arise at least 1 year after administration of the vaccine. Well, that'll change the game, huh?
Unbelievable.
See, the vaccine has been evaluated for its potential to cause cancer. See, you know that all vaccines, none of them have been evaluated for carcinogenicity, you know, cancer. Or potential, or infertility, you know, reproductive issues, or for mutation of genes. And we know that the vaccines have been shown to cause mutations, genetic mutations. So anyway, the vaccine has been evaluated for its potential to mutate genes. Hasn't. The vaccine has been evaluated for its potential to impair fertility. Fertility hasn't. The vaccine has been evaluated for its potential to cause autism spectrum disorder. And the last two, the New York Department of Health and the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene have publicly disclosed all injuries caused by the vaccine and the rate at which they occur. And the vaccine safety profile and injury rate when given with the other vaccines required pursuant to any law in this state has been established. See, that none of them have ever been tested. Mm-mm. They've been tested singly, but never in combination with all the other ones. So, and why wouldn't anyone want to pass this? Why would there be a fight? Really? You know? So it's just the backdoor way. It's brilliant.
That's wonderful.
Because it would put a halt. It would put an immediate halt to all the required vaccines if this passed.
That's right. That's right. And that's what needs to be done.
Right. And I couldn't, you know, we had our personal bills, anything that the representative considered a personal bill that's from the, you know, citizenry in Idaho, that ends like near the end of January. So I didn't find out about this till February. And I was like, bummer, you know, because I would have, you know, because we're always up against a wall because in Idaho, we have in 2010, they passed Idaho's childhood immunization. Childhood immunization. Anyhow, it's a commission. Why? I don't know why I'm blanking out. But anyway, it's the sole purpose of this commission is to increase vaccine rates, and it's, you know, Idaho Code 39-4805. I know that. I know all the numbers. But anyway, so this commission is a permanent commission. It's a permanent goal of the state to increase vaccination rates. So all of our bills to try to increase, you know, awareness of exemptions, and it's the law, is going to fail because it's in conflict with the goal of the state. And I told them all that. And, you know, because I've been dealing with this the longest, and thankfully I'm older now and I can be, you know, kind of in the background because there's younger people that have been more adversely affected than me. I come from a non-vaccinating family, so I can help in the backdrop and do the bill watch and, you know, try to train other people in the state. And we have a larger group now, and I'm pretty grateful. But, you know, it's hard because all these other women, they're mothers, they work full-time often, and, you know, it's just struggling to make ends meet with, you know, this evil Federal Reserve system, you know, that just, you know, we have constant inflation, constant, you know, just trying to, you know, put food on the table. And so I feel for these women that are trying to do the activism to save their own kids and also put food on the table, you know, because it generally takes two incomes just to pay for what's needed for a family today, you know. But anyway, it's pretty interesting what's going on in each of the legislatures. So anyway, I wanted to just I forgot to turn off the phone. Oopsie. Anyway, did you want to comment more about the New York situation, April?
And for anybody that's confused, I'm April Renee. Ingrid knows me as April because that's what I've been called my whole life. My middle name is Renee, and that's what I go by now. But it's absolute everything that she's saying. That's why I'm kind of giving you the rein, because this is probably the wisest person there is out there when it comes to the truth about vaccinations. And I just so wish I would have had the wisdom she has before, you know, we made the mistake of poisoning our children. And you know, it's just unbelievable how long you've been hanging in there for absolutely no selfish reason whatsoever. I mean, Ingrid, we just so appreciate you, and just, I mean, words aren't even able to express the appreciation that us victims have for someone like you that's just been fighting the fight for so long and still staying strong with it. And that's why I'm just letting you go, because I love your wisdom.
Well, I appreciate that, because you're the same. I mean, you married a man that understood this, and so you were able to further your education to understand that it's the whole germ theory that's really the crux of why we're failing here, because people are scared of these microbes causing disease versus, you know, the vaccines themselves. So, you know, I've even gotten calls, you know, I had to take my phone number off our website. And the reason is I started getting a bunch of, you know, crank calls. But I was getting calls from these parents that had a child who had chicken pox or measles or whooping cough, and they didn't know how to treat it. And I thought, my gosh, you know, they don't, you know, that should be really basic to me. You know, you just need to understand where I'm coming from. I saw early on, you know, I was blessed to be the daughter of Wallene James, and we learned about natural healing together. She didn't know a lot herself, and then we learned about herbs, and we were introduced to John Christopher. And, you know, I'll never forget, April, when we went to, you know, I started my period late. I was pretty healthy. And, you know, most women, you know, these days, you know, with all the hormones and everything, they'll start their period at, you know, 12 years old. I was 15 and I was having, it was pretty, you know, joggy start, you know, every other month, you know. And so she took me to a doctor to, you know, to see what the issue was, if there was. And instead of going to the root of the problem, if there was any problem, his recommendation was to put me on a low dose birth control pill. Mm-hmm. And I got out of there and I basically said, no way, no way. And that's when I really realized that my mother and I were really peers at that point. And mm-hmm. My soul chose to come through her because we had like a work that we were going to do. I didn't realize that would happen until years later with my sister just about losing custody of her son to the state of Virginia. This was in 1981 for child neglect, for not vaccinating. Mm. And that was pretty horrendous. And that was the impetus for her Walene writing Immunization, the Reality Behind the Myth. But my sister and I are, you know, quite different. She admits that if it weren't for our family, she would have just moved out of state or just rolled over and let them vaccinate her son. So, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, the different personalities in any family, and I'm a red-blooded American. What can I say? I'm very much appreciative of our founding fathers and the rights that they attempted to give us if we could, you know, keep them. And that's, you know, one big reason. So I'm definitely on the civil rights aspect of this issue because I was the only member of my family that was forcefully vaccinated. Or told I had to get a vaccine in order to get back in the United States when I traveled overseas and things like that. You know, so I had adverse reactions. I was not totally as well dialed in. I was a young adult and I was a teenager one time where, you know, I was in an emergency room and filling out paperwork. My foot was mangled from the spokes of a, you know, bicycle. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, shot was in my arm. I mean, literally. I mean, I was assaulted in the emergency room, in the waiting area, by a nurse. You know, and these are the kinds of situations that prepped me for seeing this as a huge civil rights issue and also prompted me to teach people how the body works, much like Gary, but more on a grassroots level. You know, your husband Gary's brilliant and he, you know, really helps people a lot. I help people that, you know, I want them to understand the basics, you know, of how their body works. And so I sell some products that help. You know, I sell SEACT, which is a fabulous blood purifier. It helps with, you know, allergies, asthma, skin conditions, as well as cancer, of course. But I sell other things like iodine and sulfur that, you know, these are just some elemental minerals that most people are very deficient in. And I have it in the most, you know, available form, you might say, for the cells. So I do that on the side, and I you know, try to teach people, you know, these basic principles of health, you know, the importance of detoxification. You know, most people have colon congestion. I mean, I see, you know, they say, well, I have a bowel movement once a day, or, you know, I don't have any issues there. Well, you'd be surprised. You probably do, you know?
Yeah, Gary teaches if you don't have a bowel movement after every meal, you're constipated.
Or if it comes out like a tube of toothpaste. Right. You know, each meal is forcing it out. You know, because if it's all formed like that, then it's all backed up like that. It's like a, you know, squeeze, you know, it's like squeezing a tube of toothpaste. Mm-hmm. You know, because your colon has to make room for the new meal after it's digested. And you don't want that.
And of course, the MMR vaccines, the whole thing they're campaigning right now because of the measles outbreak, that MMR vaccine, Dr. Wakefield's research showing the intestinal problems it causes, I mean, that just, you know, amplifies the issue with my baby.
Yeah, the whole leaky gut.
Mm-hmm. Constipation and or diarrhea. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's really tragic. And we have an epidemic of gut health, that's poor. And most people have had some vaccines in their life. My sister, God bless her, she turned 65. She's never had a vaccine. Her son has never had a vaccine. My daughter's never had a vaccine. But, my granddaughter, she had an MMR at 4 years old. They tried to keep it a secret from me. She'll never have another one. Right. But she developed a bee allergy out of the blue. And, these allergies are connected to the foreign protein in the vaccine itself. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be highlighted a lot. We have an excellent article in our Vaccination 101 course that came from Rita Hoffman. She's the vice president of Vaccine Choice Canada. And years ago, her son developed a severe peanut allergy and anaphylaxis. And it was when they increased the amount of the Haemophilus influenza antigen by eightfold in the vaccine that triggered the peanut allergy. And she ties it to, from her research anyway, years in the medical libraries, to the molecular weight of the protein itself. A lot of people say it's the peanut oil, and they can't really prove that peanut oil is in any of the vaccines. That some people swear it is. Maybe it is, but it's certainly not universal that there's peanut oil in there, and it's certainly not in the package inserts. But the molecular weight of the protein in that is the same molecular weight as peanuts is what she ties it to. And she did a really excellent job in the article that we still have in our Vaccination 101 course. We have several historical articles that just really are foundational to understanding this issue. And of course, our website is Vaccination Liberation, VacLib, VAC for vaccination, LIB for liberation.org. And you can go there and see the various stickers under the under pads, under shop, for products. There's a tab you'll see, and you can, order them, and you can see what they look like. And they're really eye-catching. I mean, I really like these a lot. And I like having them with me so I can talk about it. And it's a way of breaking the subject matter with someone because, they can't really call you anti-vaccine or anything because you're just highlighting these are known injuries. All you have to do, the Supreme Court did say real clearly, that there's no such thing as a safe vaccine, I mean, they're all unavoidably unsafe. And the only safe vaccine is one that's never given, according to Anthony Morris.
That's so right. You can't perfect perfection, I tell people.
That's exactly right. So I want to really, I just want to end, because we only have a few more minutes, I want to highlight how important it is that anyone that feels this issue burning in their heart that, oh my gosh, we need to protect the next generation. I mean, who's going to take care of you when you're older? Seriously. I mean, just like Stephanie Seneff said, when you have one of every two citizens of a nation disabled, or needing a caretaker, there's no workers. There's only caretakers and caregivers. Yeah. I mean, the patient and the caregivers.
Right.
this is how you take down a country without even firing a shot. You don't need an invasion. The invasion are the vaccines and the drugs.
That's right.
And their laws. So I would just, encourage people. We have all kinds of creative ways of getting out of vaccines. The liability is the hugest thing. And so I actually have gotten some new stuff. The Take Back Your Power movement, they have some great information. They're all about the right to bodily autonomy, and they're pushing the liability issue. It's all commercial law. And attorneys don't like people to go that direction because they don't want people to know the truth.
That's
right. Because it was the attorneys, the American Bar Association, that set up this whole corporate commercial enterprise that we have that the courts protect. And so we have, the whole U.S. government is a big corporation, and all our government, you know, the state government and the cities are all sub corporations under it, and everything is about profit.
That's right. The level
so that's how you you have to nail their profit with liability.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you, Ingrid, for your time. We have to close out now, and we'll have you on again. I really appreciate you helping us fill in with your wisdom, and we just appreciate you more than you could ever know. You're listening to Vic Fellowship. Our shows can be accessed on the front page of our website on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. That's 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, just call the voicemail line 862-800-6805 and leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.